How's everybody this morning? You ready? You ready to receive from the Lord? Are you ready to be changed? Are you ready to be transformed? Don't say that lightly. Don't say that with ignorance. Because God is in the business of changing and transforming people. Transforming mindsets. We are about mindset change. Time for your way of going to church before has got to stop. It's got to finish. Last week I spoke about addressing sin inside the church. You know, we are the greatest people of going out and preaching to the unsaved. But we forget that there's always sin inside the church. And God has been giving me a mandate. And this mandate has been burdening me. And then last week, I spoke about cleaning up the church. How do we clean up the church? We address sin inside the church. That's straightforward talk, my friends, this morning. I am not here to make you like me. I'm not here for you to like me. They never liked John. They never liked Jesus. And so why would I want you to like me anyway? I'm your senior pastor, and I'm going to talk straight. We are here to deal with sin. We are here to deal with sin inside Christians' lives. This is not talking to unsaved people. If you're unsaved, then you need Christ. But if you're saved and walking in sin, and then today we're going to talk about this. We need to address these things. Because last week I said there's giants inside the church that we need to get rid of. There's giants inside your own life. You have a giant that you need to get rid of. And once you get rid of that, God says, now you can live freely inside the promised land. Hallelujah. God gave me a mandate. God said to me, when I took this church, he said, there's giants in the land that you're going to go into. Your Jordan, when you're crossing over your Jordan, you're going into the giant land. But he said, but I'll take care of these giants, but you take care of your own giant. Every one of us have a giant in our lives. And those giants we need to take care of ourselves. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that your word will go forth. It will accomplish everything that it was sent out to do. God, you said that you will watch over your word to fulfill it. And Father, we honor you. We thank you. Holy Spirit, you speak to your people this morning. I am but just a vessel and a mouthpiece, oh God. But you speak. I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. I just wanted to put something up before I preached. And this is a word from God to a prayer warrior that I've been closely working with, checking with on what God has been doing. And if you have a word from God, it's going to be confirmed and it's going to be sent to the pastor to speak it. I know that this friend of mine said that no pastors wanted to preach this message. No pastors wanted to share this in your church. Well, I am going to share it in this church. Because you know what? I am not here to build man's kingdom. I am not scared of man. I'm not scared of organizations. I'm not scared of whatever denominations. I am not part of any denomination. I'm part of the kingdom of God. And my constitution in this book tells me that I can speak and speak straight. Amen? And so should you. You should not be scared of anybody. Your constitution is the kingdom of God. This is your constitution. This is the heavenly king constitution. That's where you belong to. That's where you speak out of. That's where you speak from. Amen? And so I'm going to speak this because I'm not going to hold back. Hallelujah. Josh, can you put this up, please? This is very, very significant, and this is very true. And let's read it together. This is a word from God to a friend of mine, and she said, speak it to the church. I said, this is so significant for the times that we are living in right now. In 1986, I received a following clear message from God. I want to show you what has happened since the Second World War with the increase of knowledge and the discovery of the pill for birth control. Because men wanted the pleasure of sex and not the responsibility of raising the children, I wanted to bless them with denying my command to increase and multiply. Man has raised his heel of rebellion against me to live his life his way, not my way. In doing so, he has opened the floodgates of every conceivable lust, perversion, and disorder that you are observing today. He has exchanged my act of love and produces life with an act of lust for self-gratification. And in doing so, he has seared his conscience from sin. That is a fact of life, my friends. That is a fact of life. That's why people are living with fornication, sex before marriage, and living with adultery, sex outside of marriage. And that's what's happening inside the church. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Come on. You're not going to get this kind of message in any other church. I can guarantee you that. Hallelujah. This is not judging somebody. This is correcting people. Bringing people into the place of righteousness. Bringing people to walk blameless before God. God says, who's going to speak it? Nobody's going to speak it in any other church. I said, God, am I the only one thinking like that? God says, I have prepared a remnant like yourself. Hallelujah. There's a remnant like yourself that will speak the word of God the way I want it to speak. The way I wanted you to speak it. Hallelujah. You are here because you are part of something bigger than what you ever think of. You're sitting inside this church today. You are part of something big in God. Hallelujah. It's not an accident that you are in this church. There's churches everywhere. You can point a finger and walk to one and walk into one. But I don't want this church to become like any other church. We are not here just to play church. There is a lot of work to be done in the church, in this nation, and the church is going to sleep. The church has lost its power. The cutting edge power. The Holy Spirit. People said, revival, have you seen revival? People talk about, oh, there's a fire of God. Have you seen the fire of God? I have seen revival. I have seen things like that happen. When I came here, I thought, what is wrong with this place? Am I cold? Or am I lukewarm? Is this place something else? I'm talking about this country. Hallelujah. You are a remnant of the people of God that must stand firm on His word. Stand firm on His principles. Stand firm on His commands. Hallelujah. That's my challenge as a pastor of this church. This morning, I'm going to talk straight. I've been talking straight last week, and I'm talking straight this week. And I'm glad that the Word of God is dealing with people's lives. Because I don't want to be sitting down and talking to you and counseling you and saying, and then you stand up and say, oh, your pastor said it. No. I want to release the Word of God on the pulpit so that God is speaking to people. I said, God, how do you speak to these people? God says, I will speak to them. You just prepare the Word and speak to them. Hallelujah. And so here am I, my friends. We are on that pattern or the series of dealing with sin inside the church. Amen. This morning I'm going to talk straight because this is God's church and we are His people. Hallelujah. And He says that He will come back for a what? A church without spot and blemish. We are a bride of Christ. We are supposed to be the ones waiting for the groom, Jesus Christ. He's coming back for no spot or no blemish. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what has been in my heart. See, if I was just a normal person coming to church, 3 years ago or 4, 7 years ago, I was a normal person coming to church. Pastor Bill was planted this church. If I was that person today, I would still be thinking the same. I will still be casual in my Christian walk. I will still have that I don't care attitude. But when I promised God, when I said, God, I'm going to take this church and you are going to, You promised that you will lead this church. He said He will do it, and I am just a vessel that will do it. My life changed. Totally transformed. It felt like I was renewed again. It's like God took something from the hot coals and into my mouth. That's how I felt. I put myself in a place where there is no room for error. There is no room for slackness. There's no room for just casual Christian walk. And so should you. I always say to you, this is not something just for the pastors. This is something for every person who claims to be a follower of Christ Jesus. Not a Christian. You differentiate yourself from a Christian to a follower of Christ. The follower of Jesus Christ, the way. Hallelujah. I don't have any, when I was walking like that, I didn't have any responsibilities. But the moment I said, God, I will do it, God moved me to another place. In my own personal life, in my own personal walk, nobody can know where I am. It's just me and God. And that's the place that you should find yourself in. Hallelujah. Your prayer life takes off. Your communication takes off. Everything about you takes off. And the Word of God keeps coming. And all we've been getting from this church is this. And every pastor that stands here will preach righteousness, holiness, walking blameless before God. Let's start there first. Let's not talk about revival. Let's not talk about all the fun things for the church. Let's go back to cleaning up the church first. You want to change the nation? You clean the church up. You want to change your neighborhood? You clean the church up. Hallelujah. What was the church? You sitting in this room today are a church. You are supposed to be carrying the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's the church. Not a building. Hallelujah. I am not here for you to like me. I already warned you. I am not here for you to like me. I don't care if you don't like me. Hallelujah. Nobody likes anybody anyway. They just like what you do, but they don't really like you. They go and talk behind your back. People don't like you to go and talk behind your back. They didn't like John. They didn't like Jesus. So why should I worry? Hallelujah. You can throw stones at me. Hallelujah. That's fine. I'm going to release the word of God today. I love you as your pastor. And I have to say it. Because I have a responsibility. I'll be standing before God. And God will say, did you tell them? What are you going to say? Hallelujah. I said, God, you know, when I was last week after I preached the message and I went, I was chucking the laundry inside the machine, and the Holy Spirit spoke and said, now you're free. Huh? He said, you spoke, you told him. So the blood is in their hands. Hallelujah. I said, thank you, God. Hallelujah. There should be a reverent fear of God inside the church. I told you I didn't want this job. I obeyed God to take it, and now God's going to speak to us. Hallelujah. Because we are all going to stand before Him. We're going to all be accountable to everything that He has given us. Every talent, every gift, every purpose that He has given you in life. You must answer to God for that. Nobody was born with no purpose and with no vision. Everybody has a vision and a purpose in God. Hallelujah. And please do not sit there, like I said last week, and say, oh, I'm being judged. Don't even entertain that thought, because the world uses your scripture. The world uses the word that you read to tell you that you cannot judge them. And Christians have become expert at saying, you can't judge me. Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you, in the kingdom of God, our constitution, this book here, says in section 2 Timothy, subsection 3, article 16 to 17, that's for you religious people. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. Hallelujah. It says, all scripture. Everybody say, all scripture. All scripture. Not some scripture. All scripture. Not just some. Not just something you pick like a buffet inside a buffet dinner. It's everything, he says. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. That's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And it's profitable for doctrine and for reproof. Reproof means something that you say or do to show that you disapprove of someone's bad or silly behavior. In other words, sin. When you see sin, don't walk away from it. Deal with it. Tell that person you're living in sin. None of his rubbish. You go, oh, you're judging. No, I'm not judging. I'm correcting you. Making sure that you don't end up in the place where God doesn't want you to end up. Hallelujah. Something that you must see, and it says, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. When God says man, God is dealing with your spirit. God doesn't talk about man and woman in gender. He talks about the spirit. He addresses the spirit. When God talks, when says man in the Bible, he's addressing your spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Spirit has no gender. It's your body that's got gender. But it carries a spirit that doesn't have gender. God calls it man, and he addresses that all the time. He says, so that man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. When God calls you a man in the Bible, he's addressing your spirit. Hallelujah. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now I know. So you ladies can sit there and go, oh, he's talking about all the men. So girls, relax. We are fine. No, he's talking to everybody, male and female. The spirit. Hallelujah. So you've got no way to run now. You can play dodgeball with the word of God. That scripture is pretty straightforward to me. It doesn't mean, it doesn't need revelation to explain that. The difference is that only those with the contrite spirit will receive this word. Hallelujah. God talks about the contrite spirit. What is a contrite spirit? What does contrite mean? Contrite means feeling or showing sorrow and remorse for a sin or shortcoming. Those who sit there and go, Father, that's me. God, I'm sorry. That's me. Not those who sit there going, oh, this guy should listen to this word. That's for him. Or this family should listen to that word. That's for them. It's for everybody sitting in this room today. Hallelujah. Including the pastor standing up there talking to you today. Hallelujah. All of us need to get our rights right before God. If you want to see revival, if you want to see change in your family, if you want to see all this stuff that you dream of seeing, then get the church right first. Hallelujah. That word that came from God to my friend, that totally shocked me. I said, wow, no wonder free sex was everywhere. Everyone can just go and live, fornicate and do whatever they want. Because there's a nobody knows. I've got a condom, hallelujah. I can do all this stuff. That's real stuff. We address these things in the church so that people know that we Christians should not fall into that trap. We are the worst ones of bringing the world into the church. We're looking out to keep the world outside, and yet inside the Christians are bringing the world inside the church. And the pastors shut up and don't say anything. Oh, not on my watch, hallelujah. Not on my watch. As long as God has me standing on his pulpit preaching, I will preach it like it is, hallelujah. Not because they would be embarrassed, hallelujah. I was just introducing my message, now I'm going to start. You know, many present-day Christians go through three stages in life. Condemnation, they get saved, salvation, and stagnation. We are in a place of stagnation. Every church in this country, I don't know where they are, but I know that we are in stagnation because there's nothing happening inside the churches. Churches have become entertainment grounds for Christians now. There's light shows and smoke machine shows and all these different things that they're doing. And Christians come and sit inside the dark like they're sitting in a bar. And they watch a show. And they tiptoe around sin and then walk out. No, my friends. This is not the church that Christ Jesus started. Jesus said, I will build my church, Peter, on that revelation that you spoke, and no gates of hell shall prevail. That's the church that I'm going to build. No gates of hell, no other kingdom shall overrun this kingdom that I'm setting up right now. Hallelujah. And I believe the church has reached the stage of stagnation. Why? Because pastors are still feeding baby food to mature Christians, frightened to offend people. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. I said, God, I am not here to build any man's kingdom. I'm going to build your kingdom. And only those with the contrite heart, only those that are remnant will stay in this church and walk in that place. Hallelujah. Enough of using grace as license to sin. Enough. You are not a work in progress anymore. When you receive Christ Jesus, washed by his blood, he died on the cross so that you're not going to be a work in progress ever in your life. Everybody must say, God, I am going to cross over my Jordan. I'm going to cross over. You take over. You get rid of all these giants. And if you need me to get some giants out, then I will do it myself. Hallelujah. If pastors keep spoon-feeding immature Christians all their life, where is the church going to add to? Where are we adding to as a church of Jesus Christ? If we keep feeding people baby food, this is meat you're receiving today. And if there's a bone in it, chew on that bone. Hallelujah. Swallow the old things. God, I'm going to take everything. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to rule a line and cross the Jordan and say, turn around and say, are you coming or are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Hallelujah. Amen. Apostle Paul was a father of so many sons and daughters that he raised in the early church. And his heart longed for people to grow spiritually. He addressed that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, but as to babes in Christ. I fed you milk and not with solid food, for until now you were only able to receive it. And even now, he says, you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Strong words. This is Paul talking to the church. Paul wanted everyone to grow in the full potential and fullness of Christ. And he says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 to 13, he says, verse 12, for equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Everybody say perfect. to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. And the key verse is verse 14. He says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Whoa, strong words. This is for the church. This is not for about world. He's talking to the church. He's trying to bring the sons and daughters to grow spiritually in God. Hallelujah. Paul's concern was that those who profess to be followers of Christ grow up quickly. Deal with it and grow up quickly. Hallelujah. There is no time to be baby Christians. Jesus is coming back soon. We have work to do. We have a place, church to clean up. We have crusades to do. We have souls to reach. All this stuff we need to do. And it's no place for baby Christians. Not because Paul didn't say, this is Paul. I like Paul. Not because they would be embarrassed to the church. God wants you to grow up quickly spiritually. Why? I'll tell you why. Acts chapter 26 verse 18 says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Amen. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance, hallelujah, among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Hallelujah. Paul wanted them to be there. Receive your inheritance. Stop floating around in a place and living on scraps. Move into a place where you become sons and daughters. Grow up. Hallelujah. A child cannot inherit riches. That's why he's saying that. Or gifts from God. Why? A child will squander the gifts. He or she does not know how to value a gift. If you give a little baby, if you give little Henry something very valuable, he doesn't know about it. He'll squander the whole thing. And Paul likens it to baby Christians. So too is an immature child of God. Cannot claim their rights while they're still infants. Oh, this is strong words for us to hear today. Galatians chapter 4 verse 1 to 2 says, Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave. Strong words. Though he is master of all, but is under the guardians and the stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. When are we going to grow up? When are we going to grow up and start eating some food and say, God, I want to change. I want to make some changes in my life. I don't want to be a baby Christian that's being spoon-fed every time. I want to grow up now. Hallelujah. Why? Because the gifts of the Spirit are not playthings for you. The gifts that God gives you is for glorifying Him and is for establishing His kingdom. It's not for you to play around with. The power of the Holy Spirit, all the gifts that He's given you, is not playthings for infants. Even offices of pastors and deacons are not places for you to strut around and puff up your ego. I am the same as you right here. I am nobody higher than you. My office is different from your office, and I respect that office. That's the office of the pastor of this church. Hallelujah. Those who don't know how to use it will abuse it. Baby Christians will abuse the gifts of God that has been given to them. One of the greatest advice that I have ever heard received from Papa Bill Page is this. Beware of the... Can I say it? Hallelujah. He said, beware of the high maintenance and low impact people. They will drain you out spiritually and physically. But he said, focus on the high impact, low maintenance people. The high impact, low maintenance people understand the Holy Spirit. They go to the Holy Spirit. They speak to the Holy Spirit. Their prayer life is up there. You know why we are still baby Christians? Our prayer life. We've got to check our own prayer life. And not only our own personal prayer life, but prayer life of the church. This is serious talk. And I like, and I treasure that advice, because I've seen him spending so much time with low maintenance, low impact, high maintenance people, and it drew out and it just caused him to be tired. And that's why I didn't want this job. I said, God, I don't want that. I don't want to be dealing with people. I said, you deal with them. And that's why he sent us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is for everybody. It's not just for the pastor. Everybody. You go to the Holy Spirit when you need help. You pray when you want to need help. And if there's something you need for the pastor, then I will come. But he's already given you the Holy Spirit. If you're born again and you haven't received the Holy Spirit, today is a good day to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be rich in spiritual things. And unless we are grown in Christ, we will be what? A liability and petty and wanting attention all the time. Time for changing nappies is over, my friends. I'm not here for nappy changing business. I'm here for creating the kingdom of God, impacting people, getting people up to the place where they all need to stand and grow up in Christ Jesus. Amen. Time for giving attention to people must be over. That's why we preach messages like this and teach them to walk in that place. Hallelujah. Why are many still spiritually immature? Many pastors are happy to be babysitters of Christians. And I suffering from chronic spiritual malnutrition. Amen. That's really what the church has become. Amen. I am telling you everything that I didn't want to do. But because I'm the pastor of this church, I said, God, I will speak it to the people. It is for their own good. This is no judgment here. This is correcting, moving to a place that you can grow in Christ Jesus. You and I all will be standing in judgment seat of the judgment seat of Christ will judge us. The church is supposed to be what? A birthplace of souls. We're supposed to be birthing souls in this place. Preach the word of God that will birth souls in this place. That's why we're out there preparing for crusades next year. Because we're going out to birth souls, hallelujah. Holy Spirit is going to birth souls. And when they come down here, they're not going to get a milk and milk and drink milk all the lot. They're going to eat some bones and have some steak, hallelujah. Cut up that chop and put that pork in there and roast it and get it inside of you, hallelujah. That's the word of God. Let's go back to changing our, Papa Joe and I are talking about changing the prayer meetings of the church, and we will. By next year, everything will change. And we will strive to get it to change. We will make it happen for the church. Hallelujah. Amen. It is not a mistake that Papa Joe is teaching on the armor of God. The armor of God is for your protection against the works of the enemy. But the armor of God is not for you to wear it and then go to sleep. It's for you to wear it and what? Take up the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And go to war. And what is your war? Pray. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. I'm going to talk about Pastor Joe's sermon because he's going to preach it next week. Talks about the armor of God. After you have put it on, in the last verse 18 says, and what? Pray. He didn't say, put on the armor of God and go to sleep. You don't put the armor of God on, go to sleep. You put the armor of God on, you go to war. Hallelujah. And while you're there, check if there's any chink in your armor to make sure that there's nothing going on into your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we want to change the nation, if we want to change our community, if we want to change our family, then let's start with prayer. But first, let's clean up ourselves and then clean up the church. That cleaning up the church is so important for us. I don't want to be going to be babysitting people anymore. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes the truth really hurts, eh? It does. And if it hurts, then it's a good thing. Jesus said, well, deal with it. If it's hurting you, then deal with that. It's only hurting because there's something there that's hurting you. Now get rid of it. If you're free, this kind of word won't touch you. Hallelujah. God, hallelujah. Oh, give it to me, Father. More. If you're free from walking in sin, you won't be offended. What is this offense thing that people talk about? And why are Christians so good at getting offended by something? You know, last week I pointed at the door and I said, the door is open. Don't let it hit you on the way out. It's open. Walk in and out anytime you want. Hallelujah. We are not here to build some kind of a organization to please people. We're here to build people up in the Spirit. When God says remnant, I got excited. Even if it boils down to 10 people, hallelujah. You know, I was traveling in Europe in my days touring in music. And we played in some of the places in Europe that were churches. These are all churches, beautiful, amazing churches, all empty. Now they're using music and arts and all these kind of programs inside a church. And I'm sitting here going, Father, this is serious. Don't let your life become an empty vessel walking around like that empty church that I saw. Fill it with the Holy Spirit. Fill it with the Word of God. Fill it with everything that belongs to God. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you, shall make you free. Listen, obedience is one of the greatest weapons against the devil. Obedience is one of the greatest weapons against the devil. Hallelujah. When we obey the law or the book or the Word of God, everything life throws at you, your obedience breaks that. If you're a person that walks in obedience all the time, nothing will touch you. Because that word breaks everything that the enemy throws at you. Life is not hard. Obedience is hard. Obeying somebody is very hard. And worst of all, obeying God is very hard. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit, to give us the conviction in our hearts. Hallelujah. Because obedience goes against every nature. We want to have our own way of doing things. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 says, begins with by saying, what? Awake. I like that word. I think I preached it one time. He says, awake. Paul was not talking to sleeping people physically. He was speaking to people who were sleeping in life. And you can spend years sleepwalking, walking in the sleep, coming to church, sleepwalking, sleepwalking out. All of your life, sleepwalking. And Paul says, awake. Hallelujah. And that will wake somebody up. Awake. Paul was speaking to people sleeping. In verse 14, he says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine His light on you, or give you light in other translations. Arise, that means get up yourself. Arise means get up and arise. Some people get up, awake, and they still haven't arise. And that's the problem. Arise is what? Self-initiated action. Nobody's going to come and grab you out of bed. You get yourself out of bed. You get yourself up. When Joshua was lying down there weeping and crying because the men of Ai had defeated the army of Israel, God says what? Get up, Joshua. Stop lying down there and crying. Get up. He says, there's sin in the camp. Go and clean it. That's the word for us today. Get up. Clean up the mess inside your own life, in your own family, in your own whatever that is that you have. Clean it up. Hallelujah. How many Christians have woken up and didn't arise? They're still walking, still awake and still looking at the ceiling. God says, get up, get off your bed. The scripture says, arise, are you awake? And then He says, Christ will what? Give you light. Christ means the anointed King. Light means what? Knowledge. When you have the knowledge of Christ Jesus inside of you, you will never walk in ignorance again. But some of us ignore the Word of God. We think we know everything in life. See, nothing will change you until you make the decision yourself to move out of that place that you're in. Hallelujah. When you're awake and when you arise, He will show you everything that you've been doing wrong. That's why He's shining the light on you. Knowledge will come. Understanding will come. He said, God, I am living in sin. Yes, you are living in sin. Now deal with it. Hallelujah. He will expose all your bad decisions, your irresponsible behaviors. He will show you where you have been lazy. He will, well, certainly all areas of your life. He will expose all the wrong company that you keep. Hello, somebody. I said it before. Change your friends. If you have a family, build a fortified tower around your family. Don't let anybody else into that family unless they make an appointment to come to your family. Protect your family. It is important. Move away from friends and people that are influencing you. You're supposed to be influencing them. You have the power to influence people. Hallelujah. Wake up, get up, and now move away from your bed, He says. The bed is where you are sleeping. The bed is your lifestyle. Everything that you do, the sin that you live. You ever heard of the word that says, if you make the bed, lie in it? God is talking about the bed of sin that you are living inside of. He says, get up, arise, and God will shine a light in you. And then he says, walk away. God is saying, walk away from that lifestyle. Walk away from adultery. Walk away from fornication. Walk away from nightclubs and worldly influences. Walk away from home and away. Hallelujah. Where did that come from? Walk away from... Walk away from backbiting and gossiping. This is not the kingdom of God. That is not the kingdom of God. We Christians are so good at bringing those things into the church. We carry half the world and half the church and walk around with it every time. In verse 15, he says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as what? Fools, but as wise. Everybody say wisdom. Shout it out loud. Wisdom. Wisdom. Turn around to your friends and say, wisdom. Tap them and say, wisdom. Hallelujah. The word wisdom means applied knowledge. Hello, somebody. We think wisdom is something that is hairy-fairy floating around in the sky. Wisdom is applied knowledge. Wisdom is different from knowledge and understanding. Knowledge is information. When you read something, you have knowledge and you understand it. But the moment you just read it and understand it, that's all you have. You have knowledge. But when you apply it in your life and put it into practice, it becomes what? Wisdom. Hallelujah. That, my friends, God calls wisdom. God didn't say, arise, walk in ignorance. He says, walk in wisdom. See, many Christians walk around with knowledge and understanding, but no wisdom. No wisdom at all. Lots of knowledge of the word. Oh, I know that scripture. Yeah, I love that scripture. Oh, yeah. But no wisdom, because there's no application of the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Whoa. Are you still there? Tighten up your seatbelt. It's getting rough now. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. The principles of God's word begins to do its work. When we begin to walk away from the bed, we have been lying inside, knowledge starts to come. That, my friends, it's called obedience. When you become a person that obeys the word of God, then everything in your life becomes easy. Everything. Everything that the world throws at you, obedience breaks it every time. Hallelujah. God is looking for obedient people. People that will obey Him. Two things. Obey Him and what? Walk blameless before Him. That's the church God is looking for right now, my friends. We're not going to be babysitting, and we're not going to be changing nappies, and we're not going to be doing all that now. That's kindergarten stuff. We're in university now. We're about to get a job. Hallelujah. We've gone past all that. We're working on our 2 feet. Verse 16. It says, and make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Hallelujah. Everything that we have heard from this pulpit, every revelation, every theory, every principles of God that we have learned about His kingdom, apply it. Put it into practice. Amen. Get it working inside your life. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Don't want that Jesus said, don't be just hearers of the word, be doers of the word. Amen. And He said, and let Him, or what? Have His. Oh. Hear that. Yes. Hallelujah. The Bible says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you what? Your heart's desire, or desire of your heart. When you want something to do in life, you have to desire it. Casual Christianity, walking around casually, getting through life and scraping through life is not what God wants you to be. He wants you to have that inheritance that Paul was talking about. And so you've got to desire it, God says. If you desire something after that, God will give you the result of that. Hallelujah. When you want something in your life, first you got to desire it. If you want changes in your life, you got to desire it. You're going to walk away from sin and all this stuff. Desire to do that inside your heart, and God will move you. If you make up your own mind in your own heart, in your subconscious mind, oh, I'm fine here, God's going to leave you there. Hallelujah. What does desire mean? Desire means you are a passionate, committed, dedicated, and won't give up until you receive something. Amen. That's desire. That's the word desire. You got to be passionate about something. Desire means you're going to be willing to pay the price that God will provide the price for you. Amen. If you're willing to pay the price for it, God will provide the price for you. God doesn't give you what you're interested in. It gives you what you're what? Passionate about. When you're passionate about something, God's going to give it to you. Casual Christian walk. No more. Say this, God, I'm tired of walking a casual Christian walk. I want something happening inside my life. Sin will always knock at your door. People walk to church carrying sin with them. They sit there, play dodgeball with the Word of God, carry their sin like a baby, and walk out the door again. And then when they're on, the thing's knocking on the door. And you go, who's that? It's me, sin. Remember me? This is not a joke. This is a real, true statement I'm making to you today. Casual faith does not attract God. Casual Christianity doesn't attract God. God says, redeem your time that you have wasted. Get back everything that you have lost with bad use of time. Verse 17, therefore, do not be what? Foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What is the Lord's will? If wise means to get knowledge and apply it, then foolish means to have everything, know everything, and don't apply it. God is calling people, Christians, foolish. Because people learn everything and not apply it, God's called you fools. He calls you fools like those who do not know God. John chapter 15, verse 20, 22 says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he says, if I had not come and spoken my words to you, then you would be excusing your sins. But because I have come to you and I have told you the truth, now you have no excuse. Amen. When the truth hits you, do something about it. We have no excuse to sin no more. We have no excuse to walk and continue to live in sin. You know the Word of God. The difference is apply the Word of God inside your life so that the power comes when you apply it, when you get it working inside your life, when you move yourself to a place of God, I'm sorry, I repent, I come to you, I ask you for forgiveness. Start with forgiveness. Amen. Grace has made us so professional, professionals as yet in living life in sin. God doesn't really mean that. That's not what God meant. God meant every word is said in this book. Everything. Hallelujah. Yeah. The next statement in verse 17 says, therefore, do not, what? Be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. It shifts to purpose. Every one of you have a purpose. It says, find out what God's will is for your life so that you can stop wasting your time and your energy, your gifts, your talents on wrong people or doing the wrong things. Once you find out the will of God and the purpose in your life, you will move away from that place. The will of God is supposed to dictate your schedule. The will of God is supposed to dictate your company, who you spend your time with. The will of God should tell you who you should be spending time with and who you should not be spending time with. Cut some ties with some people. I keep telling you that. Some things may look good in your eyes, but it's not right in God. We Christians love to do good things, but not the right things. Let's all start to come and do the right things now. I'm going to close with this scripture. Powerful scripture. In John chapter 5, verse 3 to 8. The Bible says, in these days, a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at the certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Oh. Then whoever stepped first, after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man, verse 5, was there. We had an infirmity 30 years or 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been that condition for a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? And the sick man answered, and that's like a lot of us. Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, other steps down before me. Always our excuse. I have no one. Self-pity is one of the greatest killers of your Christian walk. Yes, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, rise up. Take up your bed and walk. Amen. That command should be ringing in our ears every time. Wherever you are right now, rise up from where you are. Rise up from the place of sin. Rise up from that place and get up. Amen. When you make yourself able to get up and rise up, then God says, I will shine my light on you. I'll give you knowledge. I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you all that you need to walk away from that place. That talks about physical healing, but it also talks about our spiritual poverty. Church is full of people, full of spiritual poverty. And we're going to address those things. Next year, we're going to start up our midweek leadership training. Train people. Get them to understand their walk and their relationship with Christ Jesus. Friends, don't just sit there and wait for the pool to be stirred. Don't sit there and wait for somebody to come and stir the pool for you or an angel to come and stir the pool for you. Jesus said, get up. I've given you all the authority, all the power, what, step on, all the scorpions, everything I've already given you. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Last week I said you are more than conquerors. You're not just conquerors, you are more than conquerors. Amen. I'm talking to Christians this morning, am I? Stop waiting for people to stay at a pool for you. Get up. Whatever it is, little sin will grow into a big sin. Get rid of it while it's still small. Yes, because by the time it gets ingrained, then we got to fast and pray to get it out. Hallelujah. There are giants that need to be destroyed in our lives, my friends. Don't sit there paralyzed by sin. Jesus is saying, rise up, take your bed and walk. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you today that He will shine His light on you. His knowledge will be upon you. Hallelujah. We want to take on the world and change the world, but first let's change ourselves and change the church. Get rid of every little thing that we have inside the church. My friends, I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about you and I. We are the church of Christ. We are the ones that carries His Holy Spirit. God cannot do anything on this planet without human beings, my friends. Because His Spirit lives and dwells inside of us. Everything that He does through somebody. You were born for something sitting here. Young people, you were born for something. Sunday school kids, you were born for something. You're not just born to live a normal, casual life and die. There's something about you that God wants to use, God needs. And before you go, leave this planet Earth, then God wants that thing. Whatever it is, whatever that gift is, your purpose in life, achieve that. God gave me a clear vision. And our next move as a church, and I was burdened by it. And it was last two weeks ago. I'm burdened because 2020, I don't want it to become our city of Ai. Joshua took two cities. Joshua crossed the Jordan, took the first city was Jericho. The second city, he failed. Because there was sin inside the camp. And I looked at myself, because when I got the church, I was studying Joshua, and I said, God, if you're speaking through me, through the word of God, through that pattern that Joshua had, then I got to do something about it. I have to. I am serious. I said, I don't want next year, 2020, to become our city of Ai. That we failed because there's sin inside the camp. Hallelujah. My friends, check your hearts. This is not for anybody. This is just for us inside this building today. You received this word because you were purposed for it. You received this word because God wanted you to be here to receive it. Last week, some people came and they said, Father, Pastor, we are so blessed we were here. We needed to hear that word. And I'm glad they said that. Because I don't know your life. I don't know where you came from. I don't know about your relationship or your life right now. But God knows. God knows everything. The New Testament church did not depend on some moral majority of people. The New Testament church depend on some minor holy people. There was a minority of holy people walking in righteousness and blameless before God. That was the New Testament church. It wasn't a mega church of some big building with some lights and some things. That's not what God was depending on. God was depending on those that were walking in righteousness before Him. A small remnant of people. That's the New Testament church. A minority of holy people. Jesus said, "Be holy, for I am holy." Christ is supposed to be your holiness. You and I cannot be holy unless Christ Jesus is living inside of us. And He is the one that becomes our holiness. So when you walk in holiness, Christ shines in your life. He's the one living inside of you. If you've not received Christ Jesus before, don't walk out of here being an ignorant person and live in sin and die and go to hell. Young people, listen to me. Your parents will not take you to heaven. Your uncle will not take you there. Your grandfather or your mother will. Your family won't take you. You alone will stand before God and answer to God for everything that you have done on this planet. That's the gospel message, my friends. What other gospel message are you looking for? Get your life right with God so that you can fulfill every will that He has, every purpose that He has, all His intent for this planet. You and I should fulfill it. He cannot do it with dogs and donkeys and horses and all the cows. And then He said, if you don't worship Him, then stones will rise up and worship Him. Be careful. You turn up in heaven and stones are worshiping. You go, whoa. God says, yes, because you didn't want to worship, then the whole creation is worshiping me. Amen. Hallelujah. God gave you a purpose in life. You're not just born to just die. No. I want you to get your life right today. Whether you're not born again, or you're born again, or you're a Christian living in sin, get it right now. Today, I beg you, get it right. By the time next year comes, we should be on another level. And you will see the church rise to another level when the people walk in righteousness and blameless before God. Hallelujah. Let's all stand.